located. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. My friends, thank you for joining me for our second hour. I'm going to try and move this along as quickly as I can. Most programs, as you know, if you were listening to Larry King, it would be staccato questions and staccato answers. But we're using Bob's question here as a wonderful demonstration of all of the elements of the BIC process. So if you are on hold, my apologies, but I can't imagine that you have a case that you can't glean all kinds of valuable information from regarding the application of BIC in whatever that case may be. Bob, you asked an interesting question, and it bears addressing. People contact me all day long, hundreds of people a week, asking basically what you did, can I hold their hand? It's really not possible to do that in that context. I mean, this is a complex scenario. If a lawyer were to attempt to do what I'm describing to you here today, they would put a staff of half a dozen people on it if they had those kind of resources. They would charge accordingly, and you'd be looking at one of OJ's legal bills, that sort of scenario. Or else you get the criminal attorney who meets you in the back of the courthouse, and I've seen thousands of those guys at work. They open the file while the case ahead of them is being called. Then they go in the back room, and they try and nail a deal with the local assistant DA for the day. And that's the brand of justice that you get. There are two brands of justice within the equity system. What I'm trying to do, Bob, the reason I keep mentioning the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, and the reason I named it that, is for this very reason. I need help. And since all of you out there tell me you need help, maybe we can meet in the middle. And we do that by training leaders, people who will take this technology back across the country. And believe me, for the last Law Merchants Leadership Conference, we had attendees from various other nations and people who drove to us from California and Florida and Arizona, people from all walks of life who wanted this information and took it back immediately and applied it in their own cases, I presume, and under a pledge that they had to sign, a sworn pledge, that they would not share the technology in drips and drabs. They would not arm people with slivers of self-injurious information, but that they would act as genuine mentors to those that they felt they could help. And that's the way we're trying to spread it. So that's why I'm talking in such detail during this phone call, Bob. Unless this was an extraordinary 80-year-old woman, I can't imagine that she would be tackling this process alone.
Right.
So she would need a fellow like you, a group, and I'd like to address that group issue, if I may. Let me divert for just a second. Something that's fresh in my mind from a conversation I had earlier today with a party who's been involved in a case on many, many different fronts. And what I told this party was this. He has a very powerful group. It's a wonderful group, and they are growing, and they are learning, and they're coming along. But here he is fighting on two different agency fronts, on a courtroom front, on three credit card fronts, and one person can't do it alone. Here's what I suggested, and Bob, this may be a template for you, and this I can help you and your friends accomplish.
Okay.
And we'll have to review that after the break. Friends, that music means that you have the pleasure of not having to listen to me for the next 3 minutes. And there are people on this planet who would pay dearly for that pleasure. So I will be happy to pick this up, and we'll see if we can frame all of this information that it's usable for you and your groups in three.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, your home for learning law, merchant technology on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. We're talking with Bob, and we're covering some very interesting topics at the moment. Bob, before we went to break, you introduced another question that I thought was extremely valuable to all of those fine folks listening to us around the world. And that's the concept of what do you do to help someone? What can you do to help someone? What can you do to help yourself? Because obviously, I can't do it all for everybody. And that's where individual study groups can be very valuable. This party I was talking to this afternoon is fighting on a number of different fronts. And he's at the enforcement stage, which we'll review during this hour before the end of the program. Excuse me. And what I said to him was, if it were me, I would assign one of my capable people in the group to become the expert in grand jury proceedings. That party would contact the judge and would inform that judge that he'd like to be on a grand jury. And be honest, because you would like to be on a grand jury. And they are dying to find people to man grand juries. How do you find someone to sit and listen to testimony for 6 months at a setting? Judges are dying to find competent people. Usually they have to equip the grand jury with an appointed attorney or two and elderly retirees. That party would learn all the ins and outs of making presentation of criminal complaints to grand juries. I might ask that party or ask another party to become an expert in the various criminal complaints that we reviewed in detail and are on the CDs that the attendees went home with from the Law Merchants Leadership Conference. There were criminal complaints to be presented directly to grand juries concerning theft of funds in the Admiralty, concerning all the public policy presentation of instruments that disappear, and also concerning shielding from prosecution and a whole bunch of other possible things that we encounter in courthouses. I might appoint another party to become the Treasury Direct Liquidation Specialist so that if someone needs to enact and execute a Treasury liquidation process, which is a very simple process, four or five quick little pages, you just fill in the blanks on various templates that have been floating around for at least 6 years, that party would be able to do it. And another expert in generating BIC instruments, and on so that you build a group that works together that can help people so you no longer feel alone and helpless. That's the only strategy that I can really recommend that can work in cases like this. And in the case of an 80-year-old woman, someone would probably have to step forward who is either an extremely fine litigator or knows what they're doing in commerce and has the confidence to execute. Now, Bob, I'd like to continue this. Before I do, I'd like to bring Ryan into the conversation. Ryan, I know you've been on the phone a long time holding. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Ryan. Does any of this that we've been discussing, any of this conversation, have application to your situation?
Just keeping some brief notes with you right now, and absolutely some of it will help, especially the part about the promissory note and you know, bonded and surety and all these types of things. And I'm not, you know, I'm an electrician by trade. That's what I do. In my younger days, I've had some experience with the law and so on, and divorce and getting in jail and that type of thing. And it's amazing how even though you haven't, go ahead.
You live in Texas, so we'll make allowances for that.
Yeah. Outlaws and in-laws.
That's right. Well, Texas is all outlaws, isn't it?
It seems that way, or that's where they get their start.
So you have a case involving your sister. Can you briefly, in 15 or 20 seconds, tell us what the case is about?
Absolutely. She was living with a man who's significantly older. They were not married. There was a physical altercation between the two. She didn't know where to go and called me. And I said, why didn't you call the police? She ended up going to jail, has an assault domestic violence charges, actually two counts. From
Does she have an open criminal case at this
yes,
time?
Yes, at this time.
So is there a trial date set?
No, she went before the magistrate. She was bonded out. We put up the bond money, and as of yet, there is no – I'm not knowledgeable of any court date.
Okay, so – continuing along, Bob and Ryan, thank you both for joining me, by the way. Everything we've said thus far regarding Bob's case is completely applicable if I was involved in a situation like you've described for your sister. And that's the only way I can relate to these cases. If it was me, what would I do? However,
right.
Understanding that people have different capabilities, that's why I issue so many cautions. Don't anybody do any of this stuff. Better that you understand it. Sometimes, in a case like your sister, sometimes you take your lump. If it's a first offense, you do an adjournment in contemplation of dismissal in 6 months, that kind of thing, and you let it go. And if you decide to readdress it 3 or 4 or 2 years later when you're ably equipped with the commercial education, then you can go back to it if you like. Not that there's necessarily any purpose for doing that. But anyway, I would approach these situations with a group, if at all possible. And, Bob, that's the only possible alternative that I think is applicable in a situation the likes of which you have described.
Yes.
So,
I have one. Can I interject one question, though,
yeah, sure.
On your procedure? Does your big BIC procedure, would that put her into a position of being able to it would put the brakes on everything and allow her to maybe go file in federal court or admiralty court to have her voice heard once and for all and maybe reverse everything? Or is it intended to satisfy this situation with this disbarred attorney and put it out of her existence forever?
I'll answer that like my statistics professor back in my residency. Yes. How's that for an answer? No wonder.
Thanks.
I couldn't tell a T-square from an R value or whatever. I remember nothing from statistics except that answer. Well, you ask a good question, and I think that's the direction that we're heading in, and I think I'll continue down that pathway, and the question will be answered. It will be self-evident. So we have a presentation, and we have their confession, a certified confession that everything has been paid. It could be a criminal case. Doesn't matter. You've named the fiduciaries. They're the liable parties. That's the point. A third party is the liable party. You are no longer the surety. You have paid, and the person who has failed to apply the payment to the account is now liable for that failure. What do you do? The first step that we reviewed during the Law Merchants Leadership Conference is treasury liquidation. Basically, we are going to take the dishonor of our instrument by that party, and the proof of that is the certification, and we're going to attach that to a bill of exchange that we draw up, not to be used with vendors and privately, only for treasury, and I would be shipping that dishonor to treasury asking for a chargeback. And when they receive a bill of exchange where the funds are created by the liability that is created by the dishonor, liability being funds under public policy, then their books are now out of balance, and they have to go and collect on that bill of exchange, and they collect by seizing the public asset bond of the public official. That could be the clerk of court. It could be the judge. It could be a warden. It could be a sheriff. It could be a marshal. And that's how we extend from the private into the public. That's the first line of defense, the first line of offense, actually. Before we take that step, we very often issue a 3-day offer of immunity because our job is to save our brother, not to indict or convict or charge our brother. And that's a scripturally pure. So at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, we discussed 3 different offers of immunity, but basically all of them during this second phase, this stage 2 enforcement process, all of them basically say, here's a copy of the certification that on such and such a date, $50 million belonging to the Secretary of the Treasury, last seen in your possession, has disappeared. Would you like, and here's an affidavit of negative averment for you to be able to disprove the assumption that you have participated in a theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction and prove and disprove the assumption that it was not an innocent error. And when they fail to respond within 3 days, boom, now they have defaulted completely and you have your second certificate. This would be a precursor, if you have time, to the treasury liquidation. Now, if you are facing a dire public situation, here's, and both of you may be facing those situations. If it was me, I would handle a marshal or a sheriff's service using the exact same process that I just detailed. I would be issuing an instrument to them. They would be named on the original indemnity bond. I forgot to mention that. The original indemnity bond, the very first instrument that went into Treasury, has a list of all of the accounts and account holders. The marshals, the sheriffs, the court, the judge, all of those would be accounts or account holders. Excuse me, they would be account holders. And let's say the case number would be an account. The Social Security number could be an account. And so that indemnity bond clearly identifies who the involved parties are. So now we would issue either a separate instrument to the sheriffs and possibly a separate notice of counterclaim or a separate comprehensive administrative remedy to the sheriff, letting them know who the surety in the case really is. That's a critical point, and I invite everyone who can hear us to return in 3 minutes after the break. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Folks, we've been talking about the BIC process. We're applying it directly to two specific cases. There are many, many facets to the BIC technology, and because it's so versatile, it can virtually be applied in much the same manner to any case, criminal cases, foreclosure cases. The principles are all the same. That's why it pays to understand, not to memorize. If you'd like to know more about the BIC process and the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, which we're holding, it's a five-day intensive conference. It's really only for those who really want to know how to master this process from beginning to end. It will be held in late July, early August. By all means, please send an email to Roberta at robertat@hush.com. That's robertat@hush.com. We'll have the exact dates of the conference by next week's program. So we're here talking with Ryan and Bob from California and Texas. And I'd like to really get into some of the heavy-duty information that apply to both of these cases, and I know apply to thousands of cases of people who are listening tonight. And that is, what do we do if a sheriff is holding a writ of execution or marshals have been told to expect you to report at a prison on a by a certain date, or any of those situations. Well, we include those parties in the process. Now, how we include them depends upon the case. Bob, in your case, you say sheriffs are holding a writ of execution.
Yes.
And what does a writ of execution mean?
Well, he has the power to go post a notice on her door and hold an auction.
All right. By virtue of having been granted title or a claim on title by a court judgment, correct?
Correct.
And the property is offered because the property was collateral of sorts for the obligations of the debtor.
Exactly.
Now, what if you went to the sheriff and you said, here's a check, here's a certified check for $70,000. Would he post that notice?
I'm not sure if he'd have to go back to the judgment holder and see if that's acceptable.
But it would be acceptable. Give him $80,000. If you walked in with more than enough to pay it, would they attempt to liquidate the property?
I don't think they'd have a right to.
That's correct, because that would be a counterclaim. It's paid.
Yes.
And by the same token, what if someone came forth and said, here's a letter of credit for Mr. Jones. He's holding a $70,000 certified check for full payment. The sheriff more than likely would not be interested in evicting you, but would be interested in settling this matter, probably through the court. It might even only require the intervention of the clerk of the court. So with that in mind, we know how we would want to address the situation. If there's a writ of execution out, we would want to make it known that the case has been paid. Here is certification that tender was made and all claims have been satisfied. In a criminal case, we would want to make it known, and this, to a degree this is true in a civil case as well, we would want to make it known that not only were all obligations and liabilities satisfied and all parties made whole, but other parties have agreed, consented, stipulated, and confessed to acting as surety for the defendant. So we're not against the sentence, but we are advising the marshal that the liable party is now this other individual or individuals who have accepted surety status. And those parties we refer to as the third-party defendants if and when we need to move the case back into the public. And that's where we're headed with this discussion. So we would want to let the marshals know in a case like that that Mr. Clerk, Mr. Judge, Mr. Prosecutor, whomever it is, whoever has been a beneficiary of payment and failed to adjust the accounts and ledger the payment properly, are the liable parties, and we enthusiastically encourage that they be recruited for the complete payment of any further outstanding liabilities. They're the liable parties, you've been noticed and you've been posted. And under those circumstances, it would be exceedingly difficult for marshals to step forth when they have received notice from another public official, from a notary, for instance, an agent of the Secretary of State, that the liable parties who are subject to the sentence as sureties for the defendant are the following parties. And using that philosophy, we might also be addressing an appearance bond in a case like Todd was describing. Excuse me, it was Todd, correct?
Ryan.
I'm sorry. Ryan,
yeah,
I'm a week behind.
Good friend of mine's named Todd, so that's okay.
My apologies, Ryan. I was close, at least.
Sort of.
Well,
I had another quick question, okay?
Well, we've got a break coming up, Ryan, so we'll have to wait on that until after the break. We'll be gone for a couple of minutes, then we'll be back for about 20 minutes. And at that time, we'll discuss how it is specifically we would reintroduce this case into the public and reopen a so-called closed case with judgments handed down.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Glad you made it. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Remember, if you're interested in attending the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, which will be held in late July, tentatively speaking, it's for 5 intense days, please send an email to Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com. Now, just continuing along here, fellas, I'm pushing this along because you've asked some excellent questions, and in order really to be able to decide what you want to do, you need to understand the later parts of the game, and that's where everybody falls down. Everybody gets jammed up at the end. They do wonderful administrative processes, but then they don't know where to go with it, and the prosecutor walks right through it. So let me, before we address any further questions here, let me just give you a glimpse into that end game, because there are many things that can be done. The way we would handle the sheriffs and the marshal really depend upon what status they occupy within the case. Now, if they don't occupy an interested party status, I would just give them notice, perhaps, of who the sureties are in the case and let them know that it is in their best interest not to suffer the liability that would accompany an error as to the identity of the libel parties. Mistaken identity can be very, very costly for the party making the mistake. At the same time, I would, knowing me, I would attach to that a payment instrument or at least an indemnity bond, which would indemnify them against all risks and perils which are incurred as a result of honoring my instructions as creditor in the case. On the other hand, if they're holding some kind of paper against me, I'm going to issue a promissory note. If they're holding a judgment, a commitment order, or something like that, I would issue a promissory note and do an entirely separate comprehensive administrative process, which would wind up naming them as surety in the case. Now the marshals have to collect against themselves. So, and that's not trickery. That is operating under public policy. If the case is paid, it's paid. If we live in a system of public policy where promissory notes create money, where signatures create money, where money is exclusively money of exchange and not money of account, then I am going to operate within those rules and regulations and stay perfectly lawful and legal in so doing. Now, if the case is proceeding on the public and you hear threats of, well, we're going to call a bond hearing if you do that and you're going to wind up in jail. By the way, fellas, we've heard that a million times. We just had a fellow on the air last week who went to a contempt hearing, as I recall. He didn't walk out with contempt citation. The judge walked out sort of shaken by the commercial instruments that were placed into the case. But if I felt I had to, if the case had the appearance of being closed, I might put in a petition in the nature of a motion by special appearance to vacate a void judgment. You've heard of void judgments?
No.
Hello?
Yes. No, I have not.
Well, it's certainly a popular patriot technology to try and void a judgment. The problem is those pleadings are equity pleadings, and they wind up failing all the time. And that's exactly what we want to have happen here. Put in a pretty lousy petition to vacate a void judgment, wait till they deny it, and now your case is reopened. And the very next day, if they were threatening a bond hearing, I'd call a bond hearing because I like to mirror the procedures and do it ahead of them. And it might read something like a petition in the nature of a motion by special appearance for an instant bond hearing for the third-party defendants, could be the judge, the clerk, the prosecutor, whomever you named as fiduciaries on the promissory note, a bond hearing for those third-party defendants to identify a defect in bonded promissory note, whatever the number is, and to show cause under penalty of perjury and full commercial liability why they should not be compelled to report to the Bureau of Prisons no later than such and such a date as certified confessed sureties for the defendant. Now, that's going to get their attention. If we had a situation where there seemed to be some confusion as to who the defendant was, if they're still treating me as the defendant, even though I paid the liability on behalf of the defendant, closed all accounts, and have their confession that they are now the surety, I might put in a petition in the nature of a motion by restricted appearance for an instant hearing for the third-party defendants to identify under penalty of perjury and at full commercial liability, of course, the identity of the defendant, the defendant's surety, and a defect in, if you had used a declaration of political status, a defect in that document. It might be an opportunity for them to deny liability as confessed sureties for the defendant and to show cause why they should not be remanded for failing to honor all of the obligations that they have incurred as the surety for the defendant. So there's no end to the numbers of kinds of public pleadings you can introduce. You can demand bills of particulars. You can give them interrogatories. There's a million things you can do to move the case in the direction you want, where they are required to step forward under oath and answer the question, what happened to the funds that were stolen from the special maritime jurisdiction? Ryan, you had a question.
Yes, I did. Also, with this case with my sister, there's been a CPS, which is a Child Protective Services, those people getting involved with her custody of her kids who were with her at that time. Of course, she was the mother, and, you know, the kids were with her.
The children?
Yes.
All right. That's a whole other topic, Ryan. I'm
okay.
Not going to go into that tonight. That might be a good topic for a program next week. But let me say this.
Okay.
Let me observe two things. Number one, the procedure is exactly the same. Number two, social services intervenes because there are certain assumptions that are being made either based upon a marriage license. I don't know if these children are from a previous marriage or a previous marriage license situation, which is not really a marriage, or what other implied adhesion contracts are in effect. But the essence is the same. I'm going to ask how much damage was done by that contract. And if you don't answer, then I'll assume it's X amount. Here's the payment. Here's a copy of my UCC-1. Those are my property, those children. Think ancient Rome, because it's not that different from modern America or the modern United States. Those are my property, and I want them back within 72 hours. And if not, we're going to go around the block. And there are many, many ways that we have of going around the block. That you could certainly apply the BIC process to a situation like that. Were there any other questions regarding application of the BIC process in these two particular cases? Bob, did you have any wrap-up?
Yes, Sam, I just wanted to get an understanding as far as time frame. What is the shortest period of time? And being ignorant of and not experienced with the process and procedures and jumping in here at the last minute, What is the minimum amount of time that's required for notices and everything else that would be required for your procedure?
Well, it's a good question. What I'm hearing is I don't have experience in this venue. It's a last-minute thing. What's the minimum amount of time before we start to do damage? Because that's really what happens if you don't have your sea legs under you. And I'm sorry to present it to you like that, but that is the situation under many circumstances. That doesn't mean you can't go in and start doing things. People do all the time, and many times it works out, but sometimes it doesn't, and you have to be aware of those risks. So obviously you would be in an intensive learning scenario shot right out of the barrel. The minimum amount of time is overnight, just like Arthur did. Why don't you download the program from last week and follow that template? Basically, you can issue an indemnity bond in any case, send it to Treasury, take a copy of it, attach it to a notice of counterclaim, and stick it into the case privately. We, at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, one of the templates from my library that people were able to share was a private notice of counterclaim and also a public notice of counterclaim that could be filed directly into a case, basically saying, here's my counterclaim, it's paid. You could issue a promissory note 4 days later and introduce that into the case. So it doesn't have to take all that long to get the ball rolling. But you're right, Bob. It is the studying factor that becomes the worst denominator, the limiting factor in the case.
Yes.
I wish I could be a little more optimistic about that, but it's very hard, especially when you're intervening on behalf of a third party, to be productive in these kinds of situations. And sometimes you just have to come to some kind of deal with the public, albeit it sounds like you have a pretty ruthless attorney that you're dealing with at the moment.
Yes.
It's a different story if someone has, you know, 2 or 3 years of experience in commerce and is stumped on a case and is prepared to execute, although you do have 15 years experience in the freedom movement. So, Bob, why don't you send me an email, and thanks for calling. Ryan, I'll ask you to hold it on the line for a second, okay?
Thank you very much, Sam, for
okay.
All right, thanks, Bob. Nice talking with you. Thanks for calling.
Same here. Thank you.
Ryan, I hope some of this was applicable. Only you can decide what's really usable or not in your situation, I urge caution. I really do urge people not to go out and try this stuff unless they really know who they are and what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I've had that experience with some friends of mine, what my dad would call a jailhouse attorney, and their experiences. And I've always been pushed into that realm of, well, you know, unless you're absolutely for certain, you better make sure you have all the information before you go it alone and tackle these people.
That sounds like great advice, Ryan. I appreciate you calling. Thanks very much. We're going to take one more call. And, Ryan, by all means, send me an email if you need more information.
Absolutely. And where can I get that email address again?
Send that on to takenoprisoners@hush.com. Thanks for calling. Gary from Tennessee, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Gary. Do I have to put on a southern accent to talk to you? Or can you talk to a northerner?
Can I what?
Can you talk to a Yankee?
Yeah, I'm half-breed. My mother's from Tennessee, my daddy's from Illinois.
All right, well, we'll forgive you that. So, Gary, what's your question? Thanks for calling, by the way. What's your question?
Your first name is good. That's my grandfather's name from Tennessee, Sam. As I understand it, my birth certificate, which I had nothing to do with at the time, listed my mother's maiden name, which made me a bastard ward of the state.
Okay.
Then the birth certificate was bundled up, sent it to the Department of Commerce.
Yeah, now, Gary, I'm going to have to cut through that because time is very short. So if you have a question germane to the BIC process or an ongoing case, I'll ask you if you can cut right to that.
I'll cut right to it. How do I kill the straw man? How do I kill the party accommodation and my life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness?
All right. Well, Gary, not to be evasive, that's not a topic really that we're going to approach in this program. I would have to remain true to the BIC process. There are many ways, of course, of terminating your involvement with the straw man. It's not really within your power to terminate the number that's been assigned to it because it ain't yours. It's not your number. It belongs to the United States.
I understand that. What is the BIS approach or whatever you're calling this? You're new to me.
Yeah, BIC. Beneficiary
BIC.
Would not be applicable to killing the straw man. No, that's not what this process is all about. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks. Myron in Georgia, are you on the line?
Yes. How are you doing this evening, Dr. Kennedy?
Hi, Myron. Call me Sam, please. And,
okay, Sam.
Thanks for being patient.
You're
calling from Georgia,
yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, just so long as you know, I'm a Yankee, not at heart, but I'm a Yankee.
That's okay, you know.
All right,
then. Just the same, brother. my question is this, sir. I like to deal with one of the presidential candidates. And I just wanted to ask you, Congressman Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Your take on him, sir, is he truly legitimate or is he just another smoke screen? Because I've heard him on various talk shows on shortwave, and by his speech, he sounds that he stands for the American people and he stands for the Constitution. But basically, I just wanted to know, is he legitimate or is he playing the role as a double agent?
Well, Myron, I have no way of knowing that. I thank you for calling. The answer to the question is I don't know, and I wouldn't cast judgment on another party either. So I'll leave the interpretation as to who and what Congressman Ron Paul is up to you and those individuals who would seek to make that decision. Only he knows in his heart what he's all about. I will say this, much of his rhetoric sounds like patriot rhetoric.
Okay.
So thank you for calling. I appreciate it. I'm trying to stay true to the subject matter tonight, as we will every night. which is the beneficiaries in common payment method. I've been rambling along nonstop, so to speak. We're due to come up on a break. I'm glad to have the opportunity to settle down for a couple of minutes, step back, and look at BIC in all of its grandeur and glory, and with all of its deficits as well. There are no magic bullets, but the concept of linking beneficiaries on a public policy payment instrument, in my opinion, is brilliant. It wasn't invented by me. It was invented by a sharp fellow out west. I won't mention his name, but I tip my hat to him because it really is a most clever extension of the technology that we've been developing right along. Those of you who are my regular listeners know that we stumbled upon that statutory mandate for clerks to transfer funds to Treasury about 4 years ago. So BIC is the perfect extension of that, and we'll continue that after the break. At the Republic Broadcasting Network, I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and please join me after the break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, friends, we're on the last segment tonight. It's hard to believe that 2 hours went by so quickly. I realize I spoke pretty intensely and heavily during those 2 hours. I hope either from this program or from the download, if you so choose to download it into your computer, that you'll be able to have a graphic idea of how the BIC process would be applied to most any situation, regardless of the type of situation, how versatile the process is for anyone who would choose to use it or apply it or execute it for whatever purpose they might have. I would hope those purposes would be honorable. We're certainly not looking to equip people for any sort of dishonorable or malintention situations. We should not be causing trouble for people. We should be solving people's problems, resolving their problems, paying all liabilities, and going to peace with our brothers in the United States Federal Corporation. Last week, I attempted to read a criminal complaint and never got the chance, but this is something that can put real teeth into your process. Let me see if I can read it quickly. This is a criminal complaint about a theft of funds from the Admiralty, and it's under the jurisdiction of the United States as opposed to one of these states. I, Sam Kennedy, being duly sworn, do state upon my oath that I have personal knowledge, I have good reason to believe, and do believe based upon the following information. On or about a particular date, demand deposit instrument number such and such, Exhibit A, dated a particular date, was presented to, and then we name the fiduciary, doing business as, whatever the business is, under notary seal by notary public John Doe, as payment in full on account number, whatever, with a letter of fiduciary instructions for processing the instrument, Exhibit B. The notary's certificate of services annexed here to as Exhibit C. The funds in question were created and noted for the benefit of the United States Treasury through, and we name the Secretary of the Treasury, who holds the securitization bond number such and such, Exhibit D. New paragraph. On a particular date, notary public John Doe certified that the above noted public funds have disappeared while in Mr. Whomever's, Mr. Fiduciary's possession, and that Mr. Fiduciary has declined ample opportunity to claim error instead of theft, Exhibit E, and that would be the notary certificate. The notary has also certified Mr. Fiduciary's stipulation to the value and validity of the instrument, acceptance of full liability on the instrument as holder in due course, and confession to a theft of public funds in the special maritime jurisdiction, Exhibit E. There is no evidence of a defect in the notary certification. The notary certification comprises Mr. Fiduciary's confession to a clear and direct violation of Section 103.11 of Title 31 of the United States Code of Federal Regulations, Sections 3-104, 3-112, and 1-201, subparagraph 24 of the whatever state Uniform Commercial Code, House Joint Resolution 192, Public Law 73-10, blah, 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 and public policy and the United States bankruptcy declared therein. And I charge that heretofore and before the making and filing of this complaint on or before, and then you would state the date, in the county of whatever and state of whatever, the name of the fiduciary then is listed, did then and there unlawfully and willfully violate sections, and we probably have 15 sections of the United States Code of Title 18, which act or failure to act is designated acts of official misconduct against the peace and dignity of the United States. Well, folks, please join me next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for joining me tonight. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Good night. It's true.